used to when I was on this side of the pulpit growing up. The preacher would get up and he said, I want y'all to pray for me or have interest in your prayers. I just thought that one was cliche that they always said, you know, to get started. But once I got on this side of the pulpit, they mean it.
Amen.
I have an interest in your prayers this morning. I've thoroughly enjoyed the meeting so far, and I hope the Lord will bless that it will not end on a downer on my part this morning. I have interest in your prayers.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I want to go to Luke chapter 10 this morning and look at a very familiar portion of Scripture. It might have even been preached on Friday, I do not know. But I want to look on the story which we generally refer to as the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I'll show you how grand the Lord is. This question is asked several times. I know at least two times by different men asking the same question.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, you got the rich young ruler asking the same question.
Right.
Now, when I'm asked a question, I hope I have an answer that will answer that question. And I never dream of having two answers that will answer that question. But you go to Matthew chapter 19, and the Lord goes a whole different way in Matthew 19 than he does here in Luke chapter 10, although being asked the same question. And the Lord can do that because he knows the needs of everyone, and he can address his answer to supply the answer to the needs that you need in that particular time.
Amen.
He could probably answer 20 different ways and still everyone be correct.
Right.
But the one I want to look at right now is this one in Luke chapter 10. And he asked the question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now this was the lawyer that was tempting him. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Well, certainly a lawyer should know what's written in the law.
Right.
He's a lawyer. It'd be mighty embarrassing that he couldn't quote what's in the law. And so he answers him and says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. He says, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was come to was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Now I want to ask you, what do you think of that man's answer when the Lord, what thinkest thou, who was neighbor unto him? And he says, he that showeth mercy on him. When the Lord asked him the first question, and he answered, he said, thou hast answered right. But when he asked him this question, who was neighbor unto him? And he said, he to have mercy on him. I want you to notice, he did not say, thou hast answered right. Nor did he say, thou hast answered wrong.
Right.
He didn't say either one of these. And I got the thought of this. Here's what the Lord did say. He said, go and do thou likewise. You know, there are certain things that we can learn. Have you ever heard this old saying that experience is the best teacher? Experience is the best teacher. Well, that's not always right. I don't have to kill a man to learn thou shalt not kill. Experience is not the best teacher. I don't have to commit adultery to find out thou shalt not commit adultery. Experience is not the best teacher. But there are cases, as the Lord has one here, where experience is the best teacher.
Right.
And what he's saying, for you to find out, I hadn't answered your question when you said, he that showeth mercy on him, worth right or wrong. Here's the way for you to find out who your neighbor is. By you being one. That's how you find out who your neighbor is. You find out by you being one. He said, go and do thou likewise. You go and do what that Samaritan does. Then you'll find out who your neighbor is. All right? He told me to go and do thou likewise. Well, let me see just how far I would go to being a neighbor. He said, do like the Good Samaritan did. I'm going to give you this little example to bring it in today's term. And I want each of us to be honest with ourselves just how far I will go to be a neighbor. I'm going to use this man's experience in this term. Suppose you're driving down the road and you see a car wreck. Cars went off the road and hit the tree. And you see somebody's in there. Somebody's in there. And you don't see any movement, so you know somebody's hurt in there. How many of us are going to do just like the priest and just like the Levi is to pass on by? Well, somebody else will stop heading. I know somebody else. There are people coming along here on the road all the time. I can't stop. I can't turn around. I'll just pass on by. And that might get some of us right then. We might see somebody stop. I really don't know how bad he's hurt. Maybe he's not even hurt at all. The devil will give you all kind of excuses
right. That
you can just go on down the road. Somebody else is coming, or he's not really hurt. He's just sitting in there. You just get all kind of excuses from the devil just to pass on by. But what did this Good Samaritan do? It said he had compassion. He stopped.
Amen.
He went and checked to see if the man was all right. And the scripture says that he was half dead. Let me give you my interpretation of what that means. He was half dead. It means to me, he's half dead and somebody don't help him immediately, he's going to be full dead.
Right.
He needs help right now.
Right.
And the others have passed on by, and you are the last resort.
Amen.
You are the last resort of where this man will die or this man will live. Everybody else has passed by. Now, the Lord's looking at you. What are you going to do for it? And he went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine. Would you go and give this man CPR if you knew how? Would you find something to stop the bleeding and bound up his wounds? Are you willing to do that? I worked with a man one time, and He came into work one day and he was running late, and he never run late. So we all asked him, said, well, what's made you late today? And he said, well, I was being a good Samaritan. And we said, oh yeah? How was you being a good Samaritan? He said, I was driving to work and I saw a woman, an older, elderly woman on the side of the road. She had a flat tire. So I stopped and changed her tire. And he likened that to being a good Samaritan. And I thought about that, and then I thought about what this Samaritan did. And here's what thought came to my mind. That's about like me getting a home run in Little League and thinking I'm Babe Ruth. What he's likened in his good Samaritan story can't even be compared with what Babe Ruth, Jesus did.
Amen.
And this story is pointing us toward what Jesus did.
Amen.
The further we learn what this Good Samaritan does is what we learn that Jesus Christ did for us.
Amen.
Well, let's keep going and see how far. So far, probably nobody's fallen out. We've all agreed we would stop and help somebody. If we could, we would stop his bleeding. And we'd give him CPR if we knew how. But we'll keep reading. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Now the guy trying to portray today, he's half dead. He's going to be full dead. And now we ain't got time to wait for the ambulance to bleed there to come here to get him to carry him back there. Would you be willing to put him in your car and carry him to the hospital? All right? I think we got most of us still being the Good Samaritan right now. I believe that you would put him in your car and carry him to the hospital. Okay, when you carry him to that emergency room and they come out to get him, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come running up to you. Did you bring in this man? Yes, I did. Do you know him? And they're going to ask you 1,000 questions real quick. And I'm going to tell you what they're trying to find out. Does this man have insurance? That's what they're going to get to real quick. Does this man have insurance? Who's going to pay this bill? And they're going to at least try to get from you, if they can, some kind of little down payment. You know, can you put up some money for this man? Well, I don't even know this man. I don't know if he has insurance. And they'll say, well, could you put up $100? What did this man do? He gave the innkeeper 2 pence. He gave that innkeeper 2 pence. But now comes the part where he's fixing to separate a whole bunch of people. Listen to what that man says. And on the morrow, he departed and took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Now we're falling out. We're not going to agree to pay this man's bill. Well, brother, when you go in the emergency room, I can tell you because I've had experience. I've been there. You can run up thousands and thousands of dollars real quick in an emergency room. This man didn't care what it was going to be. He said, whatever he owes, when I come back, I will repay. I will repay. I remember the Apostle Paul said about Onesimus, the Philemon. If he had wronged thee or owed thee off, put that on mine account.
Amen.
I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So it can be done. Paul was willing to do it. And Christ did do it.
Amen.
Christ did do it. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor on him that fell among thieves? Now, I'll just give you an example of an accident of someone you didn't know. And you have probably thought in your mind somewhere along the line, here's how far I would go. Here's how far I would go. And the Lord said, do thou likewise. He didn't say, will you try to do kind of like the Samaritan did. Mm-hmm. No, he's telling me, you do like the Samaritan.
Amen. Right.
And even though I might help him and get him to the hospital and get him to the doctors and maybe even put a down payment, $100, whatever it is, on him, I'm still far short of what the Samaritan did and what the Lord did.
Amen.
That I shouldn't even ever put that name on me, Good Samaritan, like it's a badge of honor when I've come way short of what that man's done. Amen. But now I want to change the course for just a little bit. This man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, I want to give this man a name. Now, I know the scripture doesn't give him a name, but I want to give him one. I want to give him a name for the sake of argument and the sake of thinking about what Jesus Christ did. I want to give this man a name. I'm going to call his name James. Or maybe his name was John. Do you remember James and John, sons of Zebedee? You say, why are you giving them his names? I want to show you something here. This story is in Luke chapter 10. If you got your Bible open, turn back a page to Luke chapter 9. Right at the end of the chapter. And look what had just happened when the Lord tells his story just a moment later. In verse 51 of Luke 9, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Now they didn't give the Lord enough respect in the eyes of James and John. So what James and John did, Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them like Elias did? And maybe one of those Samaritans was there when they was passing through this village, heard James and John ask the Lord this question. Lord, you want us to send down fire from heaven and consume them? And maybe one of these Samaritans heard that. And now James and John is the man that's half dead, and look who he's got to try to help him. A man that just heard him say, you want us to send down fire and destroy them. An enemy. He would consider these men enemies because they want to kill him. Kill them all. These Samaritans. Now it's not a stranger that's down needing help. It is a person who has an enemy, and his enemy is James and John.
Right.
And now James or John, in my story, is needing help. And it's going to be the one that heard him say, you want us to send down fire and consume them. Now the person in that car is not a stranger. You know the person. And that person is your enemy. Someone that's been after you. some of them, one that wanted to harm you, would even kill you if they thought they could get away with it. They're your enemy. Now you gonna help them? Are you gonna help them to the point that you be willing to pay it off when they're your enemies? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Amen. Well, that's a blessing there, to die for the ungodly that we do not deserve.
Amen.
Then in verse 8 he says, "For God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now he's died for sinners, he's died for the ungodly. But go to verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." When we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son.
Amen.
Now you know what that Good Samaritan did. He was willing to help someone that was his enemy. And he still, as much now as I've tried to get him closer to what Christ did, still comes short of what Christ did. He paid the 2 pence and was willing to pay all that he owed when he come back, but he meant money. He didn't mean his life.
Right.
But Christ paid it all for the enemies that he died for by the shedding of his blood. He gave his life. The true Good Samaritan.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the next time you hear someone use that term, "I was being a good Samaritan today," just find out how close he came to really being a good Samaritan. God bless you this morning. Hope this helps some.
Thank you, brother.